Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I tell you what, it has already started off to be a phenomenal day. And in just going through this book, Time Out, Winning Strategies for Playing the Game of Life, it has just made it better. You know, any time that you can hit on all cylinders, realizing you need to change, realizing that you need to take it to a new level, realizing there's more to life than just where you're at, then you're off on a run and start. And that's what I get excited about. And this chapter today, chapter 15, trusting the coach. You know, when you look at that, and I mean seriously, when we analyze trusting the coach and we put it into the perspective that sports is, when you actually look at sports of any kind, if a person doesn't trust the coach, then the question is, are we going to make it? Where are we going to go? What are we going to be able to do? How are we going to do it? And this today is part of that winning structure. And I want you to hear right off the bat what Tom says here. He says, when you delve into unfamiliar territory, take on risk and begin practicing new championship plays. There may be times when the fear of the unknown will become overwhelming. Now, that's where we've talked about throughout this whole book about risk, taking the risk. This fear may stop you momentarily or it may stop you permanently. In either case, call a timeout and check with the coach. Now, listen, I want to share something. There's a movie, and you guys know how I am with movies. There's a movie called Replacements. It's got Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman in it. And if you want to be able to have a prerequisite, let's say, to Tom's book, I would strongly suggest that you rent that movie. Because in that movie, Keanu Reeves has to take a risk. He's a second string, has-been quarterback. And at the last play of the game, he takes that risk and throws that ball. And I'm telling you, it's like you look at that and you think, wow. You know, well, the game of life is the same way. Anything that we want, we have to take risk. I want to tell you about a risk I took yesterday. As most of you know that follow us around the internet and the blogs and stuff, we can put out some pretty controversial posts. And Jim and I have an upcoming guest named Phil Piccolo that's going to be on our radio show, Aces Radio Live, on August 27th, I believe it is. And in the last few days, I've had a lot of controversy hit around Phil, around his company, around a few other companies in the network marketing arena. But his oldest son saw one of those videos. And his oldest son reached out to me. And we had a great conversation. See, what makes this just unique is that I have the father's trust. I now have the son's trust. And these two haven't talked in a long, long time. And he saw a video, an authentic, very transparent video of mine where I talk about my oldest son, Josh, being incarcerated and the fact that there was times in our lives when not only were we estranged, but there's definitely been years when we couldn't even communicate on a regular basis. And it was a risk. It's a risk anytime you share the insides of what you think. It's a risk every time I do one of these radio shows because I do get so transparent. I get passionate about wanting people to realize they're not alone. And when I had that conversation last night with that young man, it made it all worth it. It made the risk over the last few months as we've done these radio shows worth it because I realized I'd been trusting the coach. I'd been trusting what Tom rightfully calls that intuition. See, I think, and Jimmy...
Hey, Troy.
Go ahead, Mike.
Troy, let's stop for a second. Yeah, this... When I read this chapter, it reminded me of a scene that has become really, really popular online that's an excerpt out of Facing the Giants. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I haven't seen that, but keep going. This is good.
Well, the movie is about a school that's, you know, they're going up against a renowned, you know, 3-4-time, you know, state champion school and everything, and they're practicing the week before the game. and they're all, you know, kind of hanging their heads and, you know, thinking that they're going to get beat before they ever have it. And one of the leaders of the team, the coach asks him to come out to the middle of the field, and he's going to do a bear crawl with one of his teammates on his back. And the coach asks him, you know, do you think you can give it, you know, make it to the 20? He said, well, yeah, I can make it to the 20. So do you think you can make it to the 50? And he says, yeah, I can make it to the 50. He says, with so-and-so there on your back? And he's like, I don't know, coach, but I'll give it my best. And he says, okay, come on. He says, when they get out to the starting line on it, he tells him, he says, I want you to trust me on this. I want you to do this blindfolded. Mm. And, you know, as he's marching up the field, bear walking with this other player on his back, you know, the coach just keeps telling him, keep going, don't you quit on me, keep going, don't stop, you're almost there, keep going. And before, you know, by the time he lets him take the blindfold off, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about this. By the time he lets him take the blindfold off, he tells him, okay, look up, where are you? And the kid looks around and he realizes he was in the end zone. He had walked, you know, over 100 yards with this other kid on his back. And, you know, coach tells him, he says, you know, not only did you surpass what you thought you could do, you more than doubled it with a 120-pound man on your back. And the other young man tells him, he says, coach, I weigh 160, you know. And he's like, yeah, even more impressive.
Oh, that is
because
very impressive when we think about
you
it.
You don't know what you can do until you press through the pain. You know, we talked about this yesterday, about, you know, pivoting and going for the basket. And this chapter, trusting the coach, is probably, I mean, the insightfulness with which he wrote this is absolutely awesome. And I can't wait to really get into the fill-in-the-blanks that we're going to have everybody do towards the end of this chapter, because there's some really great stuff there as well. Now, but if you haven't already seen it, folks, if you're listening to the sound of our voices this morning, I want you to go to YouTube, and I want you to search Facing the Giants and watch that short video clip. I'm getting goosebumps again, man. I tell you, it's an inspiring and moving video clip that really puts things in perspective in terms of trusting the coach. You know, one of our favorite shows here at home, and forgive me for going down a rabbit hole for a second, Troy. Indulge me for a second if you don't mind. One of our favorite TV shows that we watch on a, you know, almost all the time is The Biggest Loser. Because a lot of the people that wind up on this show have deeply embedded psychological reasons where they've substituted food for something that was missing in their life that has allowed them to become large people. And yet, Bob and Jillian, who are the trainers on this show, do such a phenomenal job of bringing out the best in these people, seeing more potential in these people than they see in themselves, believing more in them than they believe in themselves, to help them do a total life transformation. It's not just about what happens to their body. It's about what happens to their mind that causes the transformation in their body. And by the time it's all said and done, the ones that really want to change, they will cast differences of opinion aside, they will cast differences in beliefs aside, and they will trust in their coaches and allow their coaches to push them beyond any point that they've ever gone before. Because, as I mentioned in our parting thought yesterday, if you do what you've always done, you're going to continue to get what you've always gotten. And if you don't trust someone else to help you, nothing's ever going to change. Sorry, Troy. I had to go down that rabbit hole, man.
No, I think that's good because, and for whatever reason, it's sometimes easier for people to trust the outside coaches than that inside coach. You know, I see this all the time in network marketing. I see people get paralysis of analysis, and they don't go with that first thought. They don't go with that first emotion. They don't go with that intuition, that gut feeling. And, folks, that's what we got to do. So you've got to trust your intuition. You know you're wired. You're hardwired. Everybody's hardwired to understand the intuition, to know that it's there. But we get in this bad habit of saying, oh, maybe that's not right. Maybe I better go back and let my ego tell me what to do. Maybe I better go back and listen to the fans in the stands. And, folks, you can't do that. See, what you've got to look at, and this is a question Tom puts in here, and I love this. I marked it up. He asked this question. Are you listening to your deepest inner voice? If not, why not? Why aren't you trusting your intuition? Why not trust yourself and listen to your authentic truth? See, one of the things I think is humorous, and I'm glad Jim touched on the Biggest Loser, is that there's certain fat people, okay, and that's not politically correct, and that's why I said it. Because there's certain fat people that want to make excuses for why they're the way they are. There's certain network marketing losers that want to make an excuse. And it's the company, it's the product. You know, well, I followed this guy, and he's a scammer. Follow your intuition. If you follow your intuition in everything in life, you're going to get what you're supposed to get. You're not going to be doing like Jimmy says, going around the same circle, getting what you've always gotten because you're listening to somebody else's voice. You're listening to the naysayers. You're listening to the dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies, and that might be in your mind. Oh, I failed before. I might fail again. Oh, I might get embarrassed. You can't do that. Folks, you have to follow your intuition. You know, Tom is so great. Listen to what this is all caps. He's yelling at us. Anybody knows what internet all caps mean? Listen to this. Here's a little premise to this. What if you took a moment to go deeper behind the initial shouts of the negative voice? The negative straining yelling that you hear. Here's what you would hear. Here's what your inside intuition is yelling back at you. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you are enough. You are worth it. You are worthy. You know what the right thing is to do. You can do this. My mentor, Art Williams, put it this way. All you can do is all you can do. But all you can do is enough. So just do it.
I love that quote.
I
really do. It's so powerful and so true that it's not even funny.
Successful person that you and I know, inside business, inside the spiritual world, inside the military, it doesn't matter. Folks, listen, everybody, and Jim's got a whole freaking book on this, just guys that have made it. Here's the deal. They all have this in common. They always trusted their gut feeling. They trusted their intuition. They trusted their coach, that inside focus. Every time I flip the book open, Jimmy, and I read through it, I realize every one of these people in that book have gone through the same thing that you and I or anybody else goes through, whether it's network marketing or anything else. They have the naysayers. They have those moments of doubt. They have those moments of screw-ups. They make mistakes. But in their gut, they knew they were going in the right direction. When I watch people on my main blog, MLMHelpDesk.com, I get so pissed off because I watch these people make comments of why they're failing. I watch them make comments trying to point the finger at everybody else. I watch their own lack of ethics on why they're screwing people, and it's always somebody else's fault. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, if you would put this much energy, as in the reps of over here at BEMA, or the reps over here at Arbonne, or the reps over here at Numis Network, or whatever company it is, if they just put that type of energy and effort in, they'd win. And then I look at our brother, Tommy Chenault, and I look at what he went through just a few months ago, where he gets a phone call in the freaking middle of the night letting him know the compensation plan is being removed. And I sit there and I look at the email that I get, because I save all his stuff. I look at the email that he sent me. I look at the follow-up emails that he sent me. I look at the fact that there for a moment he was just like you and I. He was human. He was mad as a hornet. Then he took those emotions and he listened to his intuition. And he said, I'm going to build up my team. I'm going to let my team do, all of my leaders do what they have to do. And I'm going to go out there. I'm going to put the play together. I'm going to be the coach. And after my biggest leaders have found a new home, done whatever they wanted to do, I'm going to call the Hail Mary. And he calls the Hail Mary. And not only does he get a prestigious award from his new company, Youngevity, but he goes on to win this year one of the most prestigious awards that the MLMIA could ever give. And I sit there and I look at his success in a few months, changing his emotional mindset, saying, I'm going for it. And then I watch these people that won't watch. They won't listen to that inner voice, that intuition. And to those people, to those listeners today, to those people that draw this down from iTunes, if you want to stop failing, if you want to stop this continual, it's like going down a garbage disposal every time you get close to something, go buy Time Out by Tom Hopp, tomhopp.com. Listen to me. This book right here should be the number one business book in America today, because it starts with you. And if you'll change you, the rest of it's history. And it's like, gosh, I get excited about this, and it turns me on. But listen, folks,
Troy, I'm really excited to see, because we've talked about this a little bit before, but I'm really excited to see what kind of a game plan book that he's going to come out to go along with this, because this has got a little bit of workbook type stuff in it. But when you told me, when you shared with me the idea that he's coming out with a totally separate workbook that is designed for people to walk through, self-analyze, and help to make the changes that are going to take you mentally to a whole nother dimension, dude, that is exciting. Because this, folks, you don't have to be an athlete. I had a phone call yesterday, and the person was asking me about this book, and they heard they could sense our enthusiasm, Troy. They'd listened to the archives of the show, and they were excited about the fact that we were excited about it. But they were telling me, it's like, Jim, I don't have an athletic bone in my body. I hated sports as a kid growing up, because I don't like the confrontation of competition. And I told them, I said, well, I'm glad you said that, because I think the book could still be a great fit for you. And she said, but you guys make it sound like it's all about sports. A lot of the psychology that comes from it, I believe Tom has taken from a sports background. It's easy for Troy and I to relate it to sports, because there are some sports things that are in the book, and we both came from a sporting background as young men growing up. We both came from a military background where sports is very, very highly emphasized. Because in the military, the leadership believes, when I was working at the Air Force Academy in the Department of Physical Education, just before I retired, one of the things that the Dean of Physical Education told me was, sports is a leadership laboratory. And I agree with him on that.
Yeah.
Because in any competitive endeavor that you choose to get involved with, you'll discover who are the team players, who are the quitters, and who your leaders are.
Yeah, that's
folks,
good right there.
This is a book that will help everyone that chooses to read it and heed it, as long as you actually take the action steps to put the teachings into practical application. Troy, I'd be real curious to have somebody on the show, and we need to talk to Tom about this. I'd be real curious to have someone come on the show when we do our interview with him on ACES Radio Live, particularly maybe a woman who's read the book who has no athletic background, and get some insights from them as to how the book has helped them. Because, you know, you and I are both looking at this in the same paradigm. And you know, the comments that we've gotten from Tom offline, you know, where he's talking about how we get it and he loves the analogies that we bring to bear on it and everything, I'd be real curious if we could find somebody who's got a slightly different background to get their take and see how their opinions about the effects of it could be different from ours.
And you know what? I've got a young lady that I'm going to reach out to that might just be wonderful at this. Her name's Melissa Williams, and she's read this book inside and out. She has internalized it. Tom is somebody that is powerful in her life, and we'll do some due diligence. But I want to touch on this, and we're going to get into these five things people need to do to trust their coach. But Jimmy touched on something with this call that he got in yesterday from a female and talking about sports. Folks, there's two ways to look at life. And I think that looking at it as the game of life is better than looking at it as the war of life. And Jimmy and I could put in analogies more than we do about military. Trust me, Art Williams used to talk about we are at war constantly. Folks, I don't think y'all would like that too much as I would enjoy it. But when you look at the game of life and you realize the subliminal message of it being a game, of being sports, even if it's a single sports aptitude, if it's not team sports, but it's a martial arts or it's a horseback riding or something, when you look at the game of life, people play games. And this book right here is about the game that you've been playing with your own life. And sometimes we don't even realize it. We've just been playing at it. We want to have fun. We want to be in our comfort zone. I just want to play with my toys. I don't want anybody else playing with them. See, when you look at it, it starts to make sense. And I'm gonna see if we can get Melissa on here. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk about something she's doing here in just a second. But folks, listen, here's five methods that you can practice to tapping into your coach, tapping into your intuition. And this is so, I mean, I just love this guy. You know what? I may have to, he's going to have to figure out how to move to the beach because I'm sure not going to move where he lives. It's too blasted cold. But number one, listen to this. Before starting your day or before your mind starts racing in the morning, begin each day in a relaxed state of consciousness, contemplating through the issues that require you to take action. Every day I start my day between 5 and 6 a.m. on the beaches of Destin, Florida. If you all watched Fox News last night, we were in the news because it looks like this stupid oil spill is going to mess up our beaches. But, man, we're praying and preparing, so that's okay. I'm still going to walk on the beach. It's just going to look like Corpus Christi. Number two, brainstorming may be an option for you to through journaling. And I do that too. I use 3x5 cards. I carry a journal. It was so, Jimmy, I got so stoked. I'm thinking, all right, I'm already on the right track. I'm doing some of these things right. You know, guys, when you journal it down, it's great. And here now, Tom gave me a little bit of better idea, though. He used the old Ben Franklin clothes that I learned in sales, and he says to do this. Now, this is great because this is the Tom Hop version, and not virgin. He may be that too, I don't know. But listen, draw a line down the center. At the top left-hand column, write benefits. At the top right-hand column, write prices. And now just quickly, just as they come to your mind, anything you're going through in life, whatever your next decision is, write down the benefits of doing it, write down the prices. At the bottom, you're going to be able to see which do you have more of. If the benefits are there, kick yourself in the butt and go do it. If the prices are too high, analyze, figure out the next one. Number three, oh, this is great. Controlled meditation is another way for you to tap into your inner subconscious creativity and imagination. I've got a good friend of mine, and every morning when we get together, he turns on a little soft music. And then today I walked into Panera Bread. I was a little early to our men's group. I thought, man, I'll just run in there and grab a cup of coffee. And I realized there was some nice Bach playing in the background. And I thought, oh, man, you could come in here, a little cup of coffee, and you could meditate, relax. Man, that's the greatest thing. You can focus on where you need to go. Number four, this is huge, folks. Seek out wise counsel from people that you admire, respect, and inspire you. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. I know we may run a little over, but this is important. Listen to this, folks. You want to get advice from people you admire, respect, and inspire you. Stop talking to the guy sitting next to you that's bitching and moaning about losing his job, about his wife screwing around on him, about his kids hating his guts, about life sucking. You don't go to them people for advice, okay? Get off your dadgum butt, call Gilhouse on the telephone, and get some wise counsel. Call Tommy Chenault. Call Marcy Cook. Call whoever your upline is. Don't sit there with dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies. Matter of fact, what you ought to do is go to TomHop.com, click and give him your information, and join his monthly mentoring club is what you ought to doggone do. Number five.
Hey, Troy, hold on.
All right.
Forgive me, we are going to run over this morning, but it's Friday. And, you know, again, like you always like to say, it's our show, so we can run over if we want to, and people can pick it up in the archives. What you were just talking about reminded me, you know, Tom Chenault and I were at an event one time at the same time, and we were sitting there chatting and catching up like you do at events and stuff, and this young man walked up, and he was in Tom's organization. He was struggling, and I witnessed a conversation between Tom and this young man, and the young gentleman was telling Tom about how he was struggling with family and friends, and how, you know, everybody that he talked to basically was telling him how, you know, our industry can't work, won't work, doesn't work, you know, and he was wasting his time and everything. And Tom looked this young man dead in the eyes, and he says, "Have any of these people that you've been listening to built a successful network marketing business that's making them, you know, in excess of $50,000 a month?" Young man looks at him and he says, "No, sir, I don't think they have." He says, "Okay. Are any of them involved in the network marketing industry, period?" And the young man says, no, sir, they're not. He says, "All right, I'm going to put this in perspective for you. If you had a problem with your foot, would you go to the eye doctor?" Kid kind of, you know, looks at him like he's, you know, from another planet, and he says, "No, I don't. I think we'd probably need to make an appointment with the foot doctor, or, you know, whatever the fancy name for it is that they're called, you know." And Tom looks at him and says, "Podiatrist, right?" And he says, "Yeah, that's the one." He says, "Okay. And if you wanted to buy a house, you probably wouldn't go talk to your dentist. You'd probably go talk to a real estate agent, right?" Kid kind of pauses. He says, "I think I get where you're going with this, but, you know, keep going." Tom says, "My point is this. If you want to be successful doing anything in life, you want to listen to the people who have already been successful doing it. You don't want to try and reinvent the wheel, and you want to cast the naysayers' opinions aside. Because unless they've done it, unless they are doing it, unless they've succeeded themselves in the path that you have chosen for a career path or a business decision, then the advice that they give you will lead you down one simple road. Because whenever you listen to someone else's advice, along with their advice, you're buying their lifestyle, their income, and their habits, mannerisms, etc.
Absolutely.
And the young man just kind of looked at him and he says, man, you just put everything in perspective. In other words, they don't know nothing about nothing.
You know, and you've got it right. When you get so passionate about a person that's made it, and you literally immerse yourself into learning everything about them, you will mimic their mannerisms. And I'll tell you how I know that. When I listen to an Art Williams tape, and usually what I'll do is nobody wants a boss, everybody wants a coach. I'm going through that series right now. And then I'll walk out of here and I'll start talking to Paige or the kids, and they'll give me this funny look. And I'll say, what? They'll say, you're listening to Art Williams again. You just use that daggum word too many times. I'm cracking up because you get so immersed in the person. You say, yes, he did it. I can do it. I can go there. I can do that. That it's amazing what you said there, Jimmy. It's powerful. And we don't want to go too much over, folks. But listen, number five, sit down with a piece of paper. Think of the issue that you're facing. Tom writes this so well. He says, just think about the issue that you're having and then just start writing anything that pops into your head. You might start writing down with what the problem is or why is it a problem. Actually, let me stop right there. Tom uses the word problem. Now, somewhere in my past, the military, Art Williams, Tony Robbins, John, who the heck knows where I stole this from, but listen, I don't even like using the word problem. A problem is something you hear in politics. It's something you hear everywhere else. You hear it in... We don't have problems. Problem's something you can't find an answer to because everybody wants to bicker about it. Write down this word. Write down what the situation is.
How did I know that was going to be the word?
Let me say it. That's just... Because here's what happened, and it goes right back. I'm going to replace the word problem with what Tom wrote. Listen to this. You might start with writing down what the situation is, why it's a situation, what's holding you back from the solution. See, situations, we can fix those with a solution. You can find the solution, and that's what Tom's saying here. Now, this is the best part, okay? This is where I want you to do, and this is what got Jim excited. Because on that piece of paper, you're going to write down every area of your life. Okay, you're going to write down the emotion. If you've got an emotional situation, a relationship situation, write down what the challenge is. Oh, I love these words he's using here. Write down the challenge. Write down the risk. The mental and financial. Write down what your challenge is. Write down what the risk is to make these changes that you've got to make. See, it's all about change. It's all about taking the risk in your physical side, in your health side. Write down the challenge. Write down the risk. Oh, listen to this. This is the greatest thing. One of my accountability partners is a doctor. He's a doctor of chiropractic medicine. He studied at Harvard, got his PhD, MD, whatever the heck they call it. I don't know. But everything he does is focused on mind, body, and spirit. When I told him about Tom's book, he got excited. He goes, Troy, it sounds like what I teach in my practice. And he does. He works on me all the time. And I'm thinking, this is so great. You're write down the challenge that you're facing in your physicalness, in your health. Then write down what the risk is to change. Let's go back to Jim's a word picture here. The biggest loser. Okay, health. The challenge. I'm a fat person. Not I'm a overweight person. I'm a robust person. I'm a little chubby. You're fat. Now, what's the risk in changing? You don't go eat a double Big Mac? You walk a little bit more? You get the weight off a little bit, and then you can jog a little bit? Then a little bit more, and you start to, you know, ride your bike? Then the next thing you know, you're walking down the street, and somebody says, man alive, you look hot. How much weight have you lost? Now the emotional side starts to pick up, too. Hey. This might work. Tom might be onto something here. And then right
now, hold
floor.
On. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. You were on a roll there. But
go
before
ahead.
You finish, I got. Are you sure?
Yes, please.
The other night, I was watching the show, and we record it with our DVR, so we can always catch the episodes regardless of, you know, what we're doing, because 99% of the time it's, you know, we don't take the time to to watch it when it's on. We watch it when we can fit it into our schedule. But the biggest contestant that's ever been on the show is a young man named Michael. He started out the program at 576 pounds.
Whoa, good God.
I mean, that's huge, right?
Half
well,
a ton.
Yeah. Well, no, quarter of a ton.
Okay, quarter of a ton.
You know, anyway, he you know, they're interviewing him, they're talking to him about something, and this is, you know, he's doing this 5K, and the people that are interviewing him are people that have come to do this interview with him. I see it. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Go eat breakfast. My producer just brought me a golf ball.
I heard that.
He's, you know, these people are asking him what motivated him, you know, to lose the amount of weight that he's lost. And he's lost almost 200 pounds already, okay? He told them that once he started and he saw the very first weight loss of 34 pounds, the feeling of reward that came with that became addictive. Because more than likely, for the first time in his life, he started feeling what it felt like to experience success.
Oh,
success not only leaves tracks, success is contagious. And when you experience the feeling of success, it does become addictive.
Mm-hmm.
There's no greater drug in the world than adrenaline. And when people start feeling the rush of adrenaline and the feeling of success, you know, it's empowering, it's motivating. It will drive you to new heights and allow you to do new things. But it all starts with stepping outside of your comfort zone and trusting your coach,
yep,
to guide you in the right direction.
See, that's it right there. And guys, the next area of your life is the spiritual or your faith issues in your life. What's the challenge? What's the risk? Now, Jimmy touched on something that's powerful here. Listen, it's about trusting your coach, trusting your intuition. Now, this goes back to an earlier chapter in Tom's book. If you have a limited belief and you don't trust people, you will not trust yourself. You know, there's a verse in the Bible. Don't ask me where. I know the verses. I just don't know where they're located. But Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I really do know where it's at. And it's in Matthew. But listen to me. Love your neighbor as yourself. What a principle. How can you love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself, if you don't trust yourself? Put that word in there. Trust your neighbor as you trust yourself. If you don't trust you, you're not going to listen to that inner voice, and that's important. You have to do that, folks. I know we went over. I want to do one last thing. If you're a female on this call today, and you're saying, guys, I like what you're saying, but I don't understand all this. This is kind of that A-plus masculine sports stuff. I was just a little rah-rah girl. Maybe I don't get all of it. I want you to go to a website. It's called yourdreamingplace.com. This is Melissa Williams' organization. I want you to listen to what she's about so that you understand. Now, guys, you can go over here, too, because I do. I love women. And I just and I tell you what, she is
Paige okay
sufficient
with that?
Well, you know, she knows as long as I'm staying at home, I'm okay. But, you know, listen, Melissa, Jimmy, you got to love it. She reminds me of my daughter-in-law, actually. I when I went over on her Facebook page, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is Felicia. Beautiful, beautiful lady in heart and spirit, mind and body, I'm telling you, drop dead gorgeous. One of the most beautiful women, ranks right up there with Dondi Scamacci. When you listen to her voice, when you listen to her heart, I was blown away. This is what she writes, who we are. We have a belief that every individual has a purpose and a uniqueness that serves the world at the very moment in history they were born. By providing an environment for all people to feel free to dream, together with the restoration of belief that all things are possible, our mission is to breathe hope into the world. And I sat there and I thought, wow. And she's got a brand new, I mean, this woman is a servant leader from the word go. Listen to this. This blew my mind, Jimmy. She's got a vision quest for women on the Gold Coast of Australia that she's doing. It's on July 31st. Now, most people that do this kind of stuff charge an ungodly amount of money. She's charging $67 for people that want to go there. Now, I know everybody in America can't do this, but all of our Australian listeners, our Netherlands listeners, everybody that's anywhere close to Australia, you want to take a vacation, do it in July. Get a hold of Melissa. Go to her website, thedreamingplace.com, and doggone it, register for this thing. She'll be doing others back here in America. Again, I think they've done some in Phoenix and other places. Listen, folks, this is what it's about. This is what you want to do. Because if you don't immerse yourself, surround yourself with positive people, if you don't go out of your way, listen, every time my phone rings and I get an IM message from Tom Hopp or I get a phone call, I know we are going to have an enjoyable 5, 10, 15 minutes maybe, because I'm going to speak into his life, he's going to speak into my life, we're going to walk away from this thing and I'm going to say, man, I just learned something. And he's going to walk away and say, that boy is clueless, but we're learning together. It's a great thing. So, folks, from Jimmy and my heart, you got to buy this book. We have not been paid by Tom. We're not getting any royalties. You already know on his site, if you're with Manatech, Arbon, Send Out Cards, Vima, I'm going to leave somebody out, Zango and half a dozen others, $5 goes to the charity for your company. This is a man that loves people. It's a man that's making a difference. It's somebody that I have purposely decided the world's got to know about because this stuff is so important. So, folks, I'm going to let Jimmy close this out. Oh, gosh, Jimmy, tell everybody who's on Aces Radio Live today. Okay, I'll do it. Jimmy cracks me up. He's on mute.
Go for it, man.
Producer there. Today, this afternoon, listen, on Aces Radio Live, we have Mari Smith. Now, she's the founder of the International Social Marketing Association, or Social Media Association, but this is what makes her so important. She knows Facebook like a mama knows the backside of a brand new baby. Okay, this gal knows this company inside and out. She's worked it. She's understood it. She knows how to play it. She knows how to make it benefit her. She knows how to draw friends of value, not just numbers. She also knows Twitter pretty good. What she is going to share this afternoon will blow you away. I think this is the second time we've had her on the show. She is world-renowned. I've got mentors that go to her now for advice. You're going to love it. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, Aces Radio Live. Be back here Monday as we finish up Tom's book next week. We're in the last of it. We're in overtime, winning the game of life. It's going to be powerful. Radio for your mind. Folks, have a fantastic weekend. Live life like it's an epic adventure. We'll see you at the top. Bye now.
God bless everybody. See you this evening.